Hello, everyone. I'm Jake DeLorco, Dean of Enrollment at the Loomis Chaffey School. Our admission team is proud to share this thoughtful content created by former Dean of Enrollment, Amy Thompson. While Amy has transitioned from her role at Loomis, her voice and insights continue to reflect the vibrant life and culture of our school. If what you hear resonates with you, we'd love to continue the conversation. Please don't hesitate to reach out to our admission office. We're here to help you explore all that Loomis has to offer. And now, enjoy.
I'm really excited today to be sitting down with my good friend, Lauren Riva. Lauren is the chair of our math department. And I know from doing this for a little while that many of you out there have a lot of questions about math. And so we're here today to answer all those questions. So first of all, Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So would you mind first just taking a few minutes and talking a little bit about yourself, how long you've been at Loomis Chaffey, your different roles on campus, and then we'll get into the exciting topic of the math department.
Of course. So I am in my fifth year at Loomis. I came in as the chair of the math department. I've worked at many other independent, both boarding and day schools and public schools over the years. My roles, in addition to teaching math and being the chair of the math department, is I have been in the dorm, but now I'm a dorm affiliate. So I work in one of the upper class girls dorms. I have coached some, but this year I'm actually teaching more math and not coaching.
And you're also a Loomis Chaffey parent.
I am a Loomis Chaffey parent of a sophomore.
So thank you so much again for taking the time to come in. I know it's hard to fit into all the different things that you do in any given day, but whatever I want to start with information about the math department for our listeners is really starting with what's on the Loomis website. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what we highlight on the website about our math department. First of all, we say that we'll meet you where you are and encourage you to think deeply about math, no matter what your level. The second thing we talk about is that we aim to build strong math skills for our students at all levels. The third is that we believe that there's no one single path for math students, so we offer a variety of opportunities to choose from as you grow as a math student. I'm really interested in that particular conversation around progression and growth. Lauren, can you talk a little bit about in depth about these goals and how the offerings in the math department and the approach to teaching math reflect these goals that we talk about?
Of course. So students come to Loomis with typically an extensive background in math from wherever they've come from. And for some, that could mean that they come in at a more advanced math level, like pre-calculus or calculus. And for others, they may come from a background where they feel like they didn't get as much math or have as strong a foundation as they would like. And so as students come to Loomis, we look at the math background and the math interests and the goals of the student and try to match that to where they are placed. We have students entering from the Algebra 1 level all the way through the calculus level, depending on their backgrounds. And then within each course, we often have different levels. And I don't like the word level, but we often have, so for Algebra 2, which is the most typical start for freshmen, we have Advanced Algebra 2 and Algebra 2. The difference between the levels is both how much foundation we assume, and it's also the pace and type of questions students are responsible for as part of the progression. So students in an Advanced Algebra 2 course, we don't spend a lot of time reviewing Algebra 1, whereas student in Algebra 2, we do spend more time with the review. But that being said, throughout the years at Loomis, we do not track students. So if a student starts at Algebra 2, they still have opportunities throughout their career at Loomis to move into the advanced or the college level math classes. We think that students sometimes need more time at the beginning to build their foundation and make sure it's solid before they move forward. So I think that there's a question of balancing a solid foundation and getting into whatever level of math makes sense.
As you were talking, one of the things I was thinking about was you mentioned kind of the students' individual goals, right? And so could you give us some examples of what that might actually look like in terms of what types of goals in math would students have coming into the department and moving through the department?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the US, maybe more than other places, there is a huge push for calculus, to get to calculus. So a lot of students coming in, their goal is, how soon can I get to calculus?
Okay.
So we want to make sure, as we figure out what the right place is, that the student, again, has the foundation they need to be successful in calculus. Part of that is beyond the skill set, because skill is part of math, but problem solving is an even bigger part of math. We always say to our students, we don't just want robots. We want people that know how to think. So we spend a lot of time in our classes building thinking. And for a lot of students, when they come to Loomis, even if they have come from an honors or an advanced math program, the thinking part is sometimes something new for them that we work to develop. So it depends on where a student's come from and what they're used to, what math looks like. But for us, math is a combination of having a skill set, a toolbox that they can use to solve problems, but also being able to see a problem they haven't seen before and use that toolbox to solve it. Understanding what math is a big part of helping students figure out what the goals are. But a lot of the goals are college ideas that students have coming in about what they want to do as a career and what colleges want to see. But the other piece of that is there's a lot of students that are really interested in STEM fields. So the science fields and math are very closely connected. So for example, if a student's interested in pursuing a career in physics or chemistry, the mathematics that they're getting has to align. So there's definitely that piece. We have a lot of students that are interested in pursuing careers in finance and economics, which also ties very closely to math, and statistics is a piece of that as well.
Thinking about then all these different types of courses that we would have, what does a math class look like at Loomis Chafee?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with our typically 75-minute classes, we try to have students in multiple modalities during the class period, which what that means is, if you look at what the student does from the start to finish of class, it's not one thing the entire time period. We also don't believe there is one right way to teach material or content. And so sometimes you will see a teacher up at the front of the room explaining. Other times you will see students, I mean, typically students sit in small groups, three or four students at a desk, and they'll be working together to figure out something, solve a problem, explore an idea. You also, if you walk down the hall, you'll see lots of students up at the whiteboards. All of our math classrooms have whiteboards on all of the walls. Mm-hmm. And often the teacher will give students challenging problems that they're all up solving either individually or together in a more interactive way. It's really nice to see them all up working as a teacher, because you can stop the whole class when you notice that there's a problem, or you can go over and see their actual work as they're doing it and help them through places where they are confused. But I think the key is that our classes are very interactive. We approach ideas from lots of different angles so that they are learning to think both by solving steps of a solution, but also stepping back and thinking about underlying concepts, thinking about the problem visually, which is sometimes way more efficient and works better than just trying to solve a problem in 10 steps. So getting them to think in addition to solve is one of our big goals.
Right. And it also sounds extremely collaborative.
Very much.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of working on those skills, whether or not, you know, it's related to math or anything else, some of the experiences that you're going to have in a math classroom are very much transferable to a lot of other things.
Completely.
Just in terms of the interpersonal problem solving that needs to go on in those classrooms.
Definitely.
So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was this idea about students coming from lots of different backgrounds in math before they come to Loomis Chafee. And I'm sure some people out there are wondering, okay, so if they're coming from so many different backgrounds, how do you figure out which math class they actually are going to take when they're new students? So can you talk a little bit about math placement and kind of the process of that for our new students at Loomis?
Of course. So we use a lot of different factors when we meet to discuss how to place a student. Part of it's the transcript. If a student had Algebra 1 last year, typically this year they will go into some level of Algebra 2. So often there's a linear path for students. Students coming from integrated math programs is a little bit more complicated, and from international schools. So we look at the teacher questionnaire, often includes what the course covered, the previous course, which is really helpful. The teacher questionnaire also gives us information about the student's experience in that class and what the teacher recommends if the student was staying at their current school. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a placement test for most levels of math. Those three pieces of information are the main way that students are placed. The academic office also asks students and their families what they want to be in, because that helps us make sure we're making a match. And then if a student has pre-calculus before coming in and wants to be in our most advanced calculus level, there is some summer work that is required. So that's another piece of the puzzle. So, and we reach out to those families.
Okay. And I know that some of this they can do online, or all of it, like the placement test itself.
The placement test is fully online.
Okay.
And there's a window. So the students are emailed information for how to log into the placement tests, and they have to do it within a couple weeks.
So you're busy during the summer trying to figure out all of that. And then students arrive, they start taking their class, and they start to think, I'm not really sure if I'm in the right spot. Can you talk a little bit about how you handle those types of situations?
Of course. So we have an add drop period at the beginning of the year, which is the first couple weeks of school. The add drop is more for a student that is in one art course, for example, and decides they want to take a totally different music class or a philosophy class or something like that, where it's a totally different change. We have a lot longer to decide if students are in the right level of a given course. So we have until midterms of the fall to decide whether a student has been placed correctly. So for example, if they were placed in Advanced Algebra 2, to decide, and for the students and their families to decide whether the student would be a better fit in the Algebra 2 course, for example. Mm-hmm. So we try to encourage students to give it a little time before they decide whether their placement is correct or not. I think often new students coming in have a little bit of imposter syndrome, and there's the first time they get a grade, they panic and decide they're in the wrong course. And a lot of it is more settling into the school and expectations and new teachers and new living and all of it. And so we've worked really hard to keep students in classes, especially new students, a little bit longer to give them time to settle and adjust their approach and learn how to study at the high school level and everything that goes into being successful in a course. So give them enough chance to see if the course is truly the right fit or not. But if it's not, they are able to switch levels all the way until midterm of fall. At that point, if they switch before midterm of fall, it doesn't show on their transcript that they switch levels. So there's no, and their grades don't go with them. But they also have ability to change levels the first half of any term.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about kind of the timeline of these decisions in terms of making a change. But, you know, I'm thinking a little bit about the student perspective and having those conversations and how to have those conversations. And, is it something you talk to your teacher, you talk to your parents, you know, what type of support is available for students? And if they decide, actually, I'm not going to change my level, but I just need some support and some help in math, you know, what supports are available?
So we keep our class sizes small, and teachers work really hard to get to know their students. So I would say often even before the students wondering whether they're in the right fit, the teacher is making opportunities to have one-on-one conversations with everybody in the class, not just because they're concerned about them, but just to get to know students and see how they're feeling and make sure that the students understand what it will take to be successful and where they are and the teacher's expectations around what they're doing both in and out of the classroom. The math department does a really good job of meeting students for one-on-one help. If you walk through Clark, which is our math science building, you will pretty much always see a math teacher sitting at a table with a student giving extra help. So there are a lot of supports within the math department. LASA, Learning Access and Student Achievement, also can provide support for students both on how to study and how to prepare for assessments, but also set up tutoring for the student. So if the one-on-one help with the teacher isn't sufficient, there's also tutoring available. But I think figuring out whether the student's in the right class is a conversation between the student, the advisor, the teacher, sometimes the Learning Access and Student Achievement, and the academic office to try and make sure that the student is thinking about all aspects of whether that course is the right fit for them at that moment. And right, you know, if the student's super busy in lots of other ways and the one class is the tipping point of it being too much, then it makes sense to change levels, even though the student could be successful in the class. So there's more aspects to whether a student's in advanced math or not. It doesn't necessarily mean anything about ability or whether they'll be successful in that type of course later. It's just a matter of at this time with everything that's going on in their lives, whether it makes the most sense for them.
Right. Absolutely. And just being a more holistic conversation, I think, is very reassuring to people that it's not just about making a decision in a vacuum, that it's, and especially from, you know, the advising standpoint, saying, okay, looking, sitting down with advisees and saying, let's look at everything you're doing and let's look at how all the puzzle pieces are working together. And actually you're working really, really hard in this other class that you really want to do in order to do the next thing, or in an area that you're really, really passionate about. Do you really need to keep working as hard in this particular one? You know, there may be different ways in which we can put everything together to make a better overall experience for you.
Completely. And I think another piece of it is students that come to Loomis have been successful in their worlds forever. And so a lot of them with math have always in their minds been good at math and often haven't had to study math. So math came naturally to them. Yeah. And that's true in lots of and all of the subjects. When they first see a test or an essay or something that looks different than what they did before, and the first time they get back a grade that's not 100 or, you know, what they're used to, a lot of them will panic. So part of it is teaching, the teachers are there for them to try to help them learn how to study for the first time or learn how to build the skill set that they need to be successful. And that's part of why they're here.
Right.
And I think that we work really hard with advisors and everybody that's part of the team for students to help them to see that sometimes when they don't have the result they want initially, that it's an adjustment to the approach, which is an important life skill.
Absolutely. And the other piece of that is just, I think, you know, going back to that collaborative culture of the school too, that it's also peer to peer, right? Whether it's, you know, okay, I'm going to work with the other students in my group to figure this out, or I'm going to, you know, get help from a prefect on the hall. It's just this one piece of content that I'm struggling with. So there's just a lot of good, I think, community culture around getting help for anything that you need at the school, but certainly around academics as well. And it's not something where, you know, it's kind of, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, sneak off and learn this on my own on some online site because I, you know, I'm too afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do duty in one of the dorms. And when I'm on duty every Monday night, there is a group of different students that come that I, half of them I don't teach. I just, you know, they know I'm on duty and I'm a math teacher and they come
I'm
ask
sure you're
me.
Busy.
but there's no, I think it's kind of the worry alone idea. Like if you don't know something, then ask for help. That's why we're here. If everything was easy, you're not learning. So you should, you know, we should be pushing you in a way that's comfortable and okay. But I think that students get that we're working with them to make them stronger thinkers, and they know we're there to support them if they are struggling with that.
So I think sometimes there's an assumption when we talk about this topic that, you know, this is something that only students for whom they're not particularly interested in math or confident in math deal with. But you know, we have a lot of students who math is their passion. And as you were saying before, they've maybe moved further and faster through the math curriculum or come in with a broader foundation, maybe in terms of the skill level, maybe not as much in the problem solving and critical thinking level. But how do those students go through our particular department and curriculum within that kind of philosophy?
I think that there's it's a hard question because every student's different and we have to get to know each student, because I think that the racing through math for some students makes sense and they are getting deep understanding and they are learning the kinds of problem solving and bigger connected understanding that we want them to have. For other students, they've raced through the curriculum and it's a very shallow race as far as like they have skills, but they don't see the connections between ideas and some of the bigger picture stuff. And that's hard to tell from the get-go. So it's a little hard to answer that question. But I would say our classes are not just skill, and we spend a lot of time trying to build the big picture. I mean, most of the mathematical ideas are connected at every single level in every course, and the flexibility of being able to pull an idea from geometry and connect it to an idea from calculus and put it together to solve a differential equation scenario. I mean, I think that's what makes a mathematician successful. is being able to see how it all connects. We have students that come in that feel like they've seen some of the material in our classes, but when we know it's a review type of topic, we try to approach things from lots of different angles so that they see it in a different way. And that helps to build new connections. I don't know if that's answering your question,
but it is.
I think that I would say that there are very few students at Loomis that don't feel like they are being challenged in their math courses. Cause we really try to make sure we have enough breadth and depth in our curriculum that everyone is being met where they are both finding success, but also being pushed.
Yeah. So shifting gears a little bit on that word curriculum, and as a department chair, you sit on our curriculum committee, you know, you're responsible for overseeing the math department's curriculum, and you're also responsible for, you know, bringing in our new math teachers. What types of courses do we offer that, you've been particularly excited about from a curricular standpoint, or things that are on the horizon or qualities that we're looking for in new math teachers at Loomis?
I came 5 years ago, but I think it was 4 years ago. I was talking to some of the students that were in our very last math class at that time, which was linear algebra. And the students were really interested more in going into applied areas of math like physics and engineering. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that they wish that there was an advanced course that had more of the applied. And we have a lot of students that love math, but they are not sure all of the opportunities available to them within the umbrella of a math related career. Right. And we have a lot of students that come really advanced in math. Mm-hmm. And so 4 years ago, I decided to write a new course for the math department that is at the end of the options. So we have linear algebra, and then now we have math modeling with differential equations. But the linear algebra course is a pure math course, so it gives them an idea of what it looks like to be a mathematician in a pure math field. But there are tons of jobs and careers that are applied math, because applied math connects with lots of different areas and is using math to understand the world. And so the course Math Modeling with Differential Equations gives them an idea, or more of a survey, of like what you could do if you want to model epidemics, or if you're interested in doing pharmaceutical research, or, you know, something around econ. But it's teaching them a first year college level introduction to ordinary differential equations, which may or may not mean anything, but
it doesn't mean a lot to me. I gotta be honest, Dr. Reba.
It is a college level course as far as the content goes, but it also has a lot of modeling, because I want them to see how math is used and hopefully pique their interest into going into mathematical biology or some field of applied math that is growing, which there are a lot of. So I saw a need. I heard students saying, I wish we had this, and I created a course. Another one that has come this year, we decided to redo our advanced pre-calculus curriculum last summer. So pre-calculus tends to be a very choppy course. Like, you cover a topic and then you kind of put it away and go to a new topic. But really, the ideas within pre-calculus should form this connected foundation that calculus can build on, rather than being a set of discrete skills. And so we worked hard over the summer to think about what kinds of questions we had and how we could frame curriculum so that students are not only learning the skills, but also seeing how it all ties together and building thinking that will make them successful in a college level calculus class, which is where they tend to go the next year. Our faculty in the math department are excellent mathematicians and know math really well, but they're also really good educators. So we look for people that know math, but also are able to connect with the students, are creative in how they present the material, don't just see math as a set of steps to follow. I mean, the connecting with students is huge, because most students come to high school with already very strong opinions about whether they're math people or not. It's not that they're coming to us as blank slates, and we're trying to make sure that we give them the support so that they can see themselves as being able and then also being successful in math and seeing how math is useful for them.
Well, you know, I was thinking a little bit about when you were talking about the modeling, that a little shout out here. We have a wonderful independent study program for our seniors, or senior independent projects program, that seniors can decide to take the last 3 weeks of the school year and do some independent projects that they like to do across the curriculum and all different kinds of things. And 2 years ago, we had a senior who decided as a result of his experience in his statistics class to come and was also a head tour guide at the time and came to me and said, you know, I'd really like to use some of the skills that I've learned in this particular class to do some analysis of how we, of our tour guide program and our visit program, and put together, did a ton of research, put together a ton of data for us that we never would have been able to have the time to do on our own. And it was a result of that work that we ended up implementing a whole new database in terms of how we match our visitors with our tour guides. And that was a student project. And that's a person who's not majoring in math. You know, that's somebody who, because they worked through the curriculum and got excited about the way that that our teachers were teaching math to them, and, you know, were able to kind of see the practical application of what they were doing, actually had an impact on what we do literally here in this office at Loomis. So for those of you who are coming for a visit or have come for a visit, you can think about that a little bit. If you liked your tour guide, that goes all back to Ignacio. Thank you, Ignacio, if you're listening, who's currently a sophomore in college right now. But it also just goes to, again, like student interest, individualized attention, teachers knowing students, students feeling comfortable with teachers. I mean, it all goes together, whether or not it's the math department or the, you know, the English department, whatever department we're talking about, it's all the same. So kind of as a last topic, I'd love to talk a little bit about just the overall experience that you've had in the time that you've been here, and kind of what makes you excited about working at Loomis, what makes you coming back to teach math every day and taking on this really, really important job of a very large department.
I enjoy my time at Loomis. I think the students here are excited to be here, which is a wonderful thing to say as a teacher. They're engaged in classes and they're willing to take the risk within class to be challenged and push themselves. You know, you go to the dining hall and you walk around campus and everybody says hi to you, which is a really special experience, I think, for everybody here. I really, like, my son is a sophomore and I get to see it through a parent's eyes as well. And I, you know, I'm seeing him grow and become more of an adult, right, as he's here, and gain some maturity and gain confidence and make an amazing group of friends, but also academically, you know, really push himself. I think Loomis is a great place to watch a kid grow up. And as a teacher, I have the joy of watching them see what they look, you know, they come into my Algebra 2 class as a freshman, and then I get to see them later and teach them again as they get older and move through the program. So it's really cool.
Right. And live with them too. Many of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And your son is also a tour guide, and does a great job with that. So listeners, you may get a chance to be toured by Dr. Riva's son as well. So thank you again so much, Lauren, for coming in today. We really appreciate it. I think you addressed a lot of questions that people have about the department, but I also think that listeners really got a sense of kind of the depth and care in which we decide to teach what we teach, how we teach it, and how we approach education with our students. So thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for listening.